This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
When I speak to people, so many of you have heard this story, I say, God created us. And if you're an engineer and you made or build an engine and it's supposed to go by diesel, if you at one stage run out of diesel and you think, ah, man, whatever, this guy who made this engineer, I'm going to put in some petrol. It will not run so well. And at the end, it will break. And a tip that God gives us is gather together, pray for one another. It's not to embarrass you. It is because you will run better. It is better for you. He made us. He's our creator. He gives us lots of tips in the Bible. So today is also about tips, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, our King, our Lord, our Savior, we honor you, we glorify you. Thank you that we could worship you. I hope that it was a good fragrance to you, Father. And thank you that even in the heat we could stand and just glorify you, our King. So thank you that we know by virtue of your word that your Holy Spirit is with us and we feel it also, Father. Thank you for that. Speak through me as what you've shared with me during the week. Make me use the testimonies and the examples that is on your heart today, Father. You know who is here. You know you want to speak to to everyone, Father. So I thank you. Thank you that I may be a vessel, and I thank you that oh, you gave me the sermon in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, the sermon is about wholeness. It was a challenge for me. Because I said, okay, cool, Lord, wholeness. Most probably Landi and Marco will sing about He Makes Me Whole Again. It didn't pitch up. So then, did I miss it? Because, yeah, often it comes together. But God challenged me about wholeness. And then when I started thinking of what is the opposite of being whole, we all strive to be whole, but what is the opposite? The opposite is broken. So if something is broken, it's not nice. And I've put on some or that with the help of my husband, we put on some pictures of being broken and being whole. And often we can see things are broken. Like the vase, you can see when it's whole, when it's broken. The earth, often you will hear, oh, the whole earth is broken, or it's not going well with earth, or we mess it up, or whatever. And then these two pictures of someone that's the best picture we could find of someone that's broken or struggling or stressing, and someone who's content, who perhaps represents being healed or being whole, being content. And I was challenged of what can be broken. Often I didn't know for many years, perhaps I didn't want to know, but that our hearts can be broken. And when someone shared with me, but you fear and you have fear of a broken heart, I didn't know what they're talking about. I said, no, I have gluten allergy. It's nothing to do with a broken heart, and I don't know even what is a broken heart. But yes, our hearts are often broken. Our hearts are often shattered because of what happens to us, what we have to go through. Our hearts does break. Our hearts do break. But also we can have broken way of thinking. And what I mean by that is we have the wrong way of thinking. So is there a right way and is there a wrong way? Yes, definitely there is a right and a wrong way. But if you don't know, it's so much more difficult to know what is the right and the wrong way. But definitely we have wrong ways of thinking. And one thing that comes up in my mind now is that God helped me to understand that thoughts that goes in circles and it never ends, it's just, I don't know if I was the only one struggling with that, but especially when I was hurt or when someone did something wrong against me, or I felt this is not good, and how could they do this? I will ponder on it endlessly in circles, and it will take so much time, focus, and energy. I would be tired after 2 weeks, and I'm still stuck with the same thought. So those thoughts is not the right way of thinking. It's not how God has planned for us. There's freedom. We sang the song. He bought our freedom with a cross, and what it means is, by Jesus hanging on the cross, dying for all our sins, all the things that we do wrong, and where we miss God's will, we can be healed of that and we can have freedom because Jesus did do that for us. Okay, and then also feelings. Our feelings can often be wrong. It's not that when you say you go down and you have struggle with depression, but often feelings, I thought I am my feelings, and we are not. It comes from three places: God, the enemy, or ourselves. And when I realized that, it was such a freedom to know, okay, what I feel now is not really coming from myself. It's from my outer source. And where is it coming from? So what is it then to be whole? I hope you're thinking now. No, you cannot wait for me. You must think. What does it mean to be whole? Okay, let's go back to the next picture of the world and all the influence it has. What breaks the world? So I'm just a little going in the opposite direction of wholeness. What breaks the world? There are many things. I just put a few things out there. I can just perhaps see that. Self-hate, if you don't love yourself, but also if you love yourself more than others. It breaks others, makes you arrogant, it makes you prideful. The word says, do not think of yourself more or less than what you ought to, what God has put into you. So you can be confident of what He has made you, what is your gifts and who you are. But you cannot think more of yourself than others. God loves all of us. And pollution, we all know now the thing of plastic pollution, so I'm not going to go there now. Control. In intercession just before church, I realized that control is often a huge thing. And also for me, I had the last 2 weeks was quite challenging for me. In a sense of private things, our house in South Africa, the Lord shared to us long ago, at one stage you will have to sell it. But because we do not have a pension, we thought of it as our pension. And then 2 weeks back, God said to us, okay, it's now time for you to sell your house. And I had so many good years there, and it was difficult, but I knew He said it, and our children is living there. So I wondered, where will they go? And as so often before, my thinking is not the same as God's thinking. I think, no, it's not the right time. It's not now. It's not good. It doesn't make sense. And then God says, what are you struggling with? Don't you trust me? And I realized, no, I actually struggle to trust Him. I thought, this is our little piece of money that we can rely on. I don't want to be dependent on my children when I'm old and crocky. So I thought it will be that, Lord, and now you say, no, sell it. And so He says, so you don't trust me? I said, yes, I trust you. Okay, let's sell the house. And that can hurt the same. So we put it in the market, thinking, okay, it will take about 3 months. Normally it takes about 3 months or 3 years in South Africa, but normally around 3 months it's done. Okay, it was a week later and the whole house was sold. So I said, okay, this was quick. I'm actually not totally ready yet. And the next week our children got another place to stay, another house, which is actually such a blessing for them. And then I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't trust you. I didn't want to go there. But control, we want to control. And then often I grew up with Dutch parents, and often they said, yeah, but you have a sound mind, or not a sound mind, that was not, you can think. And yes, we were taught to think logic, and I think I can think rather logic, but yeah, in my logicness, I miss God so often. So it's a control. We want to be in control, and it is really often difficult to, I say, as God said, you will walk on water. Okay, then other things are the love of self. It's all about me, myself, and I, and how will I do this, and what is my thinking, and what is my idea, and it's very self-centered. Narcissism is also a little bit about the same. It's just in an extremer level, also focused on control and on yourself and how it must be for yourself and for your control. Lack of godly authority. We often lack that, and I see it so often in life. And I was, I don't know if that's the right words, but I am strong opinionated, if that's the right word. I see many women in this country has a very strong opinion. And I think it's feminism that brought it to us to an extent. And but you know, we do not take the godly authority that our husbands is the authority, in that they are the head of the house. And we are their helpers. It's not that we are not worthy or we are not on the same level. It's just he is the head of the house. Then it's me. And we had to change it. But also lack of godly authority in when you have done F4 or come for deliverance. You know, I teach you, we have authority. God said, you have authority to trample on scorpions and serpents. So where are they? You must look for them, so that you can reign over that. It's what it means is you have authority over the enemy. And Sana shared something in the small group this morning, and it is about the authority. But we often accuse God of things that goes wrong, especially people who do not understand that. Yes, God is. We say God, not we, you're sometimes Christians as well, say God is in control. Do you know, it's not really like that. God is sovereign, as Sana said, but he gave us a choice. Actually, you are in control. If God says to you, trample on scorpions and serpents, trample on the enemy, check him out where he is, reign over him. We say, oh Lord, why did you do this? Why don't you rescue me? Where were you when I had this accident? Where were you when my child died? Where were you? It's not everything is God. The enemy is like a roaring lion, and we just prefer not to see him. Or actually, I think the enemy wants to keep us, have a veil over us, that we do not identify him, so we cannot reign over him. We cannot have authority over him. And it's also for some people difficult, and I do not want to make life for you difficult now. And if you do not understand it, just wait. Let it wait, that we at some other stage can have perhaps a more in-depth conversation. But the Bible also says, what you sow, you will reap. It's just a law of earth. I can say one day, oh, well, I'm not. I don't want to fall under the laws of this earth. I'm not gonna. What is sort of gravity? I cancel gravity because I don't want to weigh anything. I want to be light, and I'm not gonna go into gravity anymore. I should throw. Is it the batteries? Thanks. You know, the next morning gravity is still there. You can say, I'm not in agreement with gravity. I do not, it doesn't exist. You know, tomorrow it will still exist. And it's just the law on earth. This is how it works. And you can say, well, I'm not in agreement. Well, sorry, things happen like that. So the same is with what God said. We have authority over scorpions and serpents. And if you think you don't have, you have. But then you must take responsibility for your choices. God didn't make us machines. He didn't make us robots. We have a choice. And you will reap what you sow. It's just law of the earth. It's what it's like. So, okay, ungodly anger. We may be angry for the things that God is also angry with. If you see, I was on Friday. We took the day off and we went to the Openlucht Museum in Arnhem. And there was still some, they displayed some places where there was still child labor. Ach, it was horrible. It was really horrible. And I think God is also against it. So yes, you can be angry against the things that is ungodly. Yeah? So God, Jesus was also angry in the temple. I'm not going to explain more there. Lovelessness, it's really many people struggle to be loved, but also to give love. Often when you grew up in a family where love, there was lovelessness, there was not much love. You struggle to understand love, giving and receiving. Often I use Christina as an example. She grew up in very difficult circumstances, and then she came to live with us for 4 years when she was 23, for 4 years. So she was an adult already, and she grew up loveless. And I could pour in as much love as I wanted to. It was just running through like a sponge. She couldn't hold it. She couldn't enjoy it. She stayed jealous of someone else that would get love or attention or admiring or whatever. She didn't know how to do this. And when we have an argument, I would say to her, no, I'm not in agreement. You do this, da, da, da. Why do you hate me so much? She didn't understand how love works. She didn't understand that love means I'm always there for you. I'm not in agreement what you always do, but I'm there for you. I love you. I'm concerned. I want to guide you. And that is such a beautiful principle of the previous sermon that I had on the shepherd. He guides us. We as parents need to guide our children, help them, make them feel secure. That is our job. And you need to do this is what you need to do, and we really need to pray that God will help us to share this love with our children, to make them feel secure. I don't know for who this is, but I feel I must say this, that when me and Darkan got married, before we had children, we chose that if it's at all possible that I will stay home with the children. So eventually we got 3 boys and I stayed home. It's not always funny or nice, especially when they're young. They gah, and whatever. Then they get older. Yeah, all that you can say to a baby is, and yeah. And then it's again a nappy, and it's again a bottle or whatever. It's work. It's labor. And then when they get older, man, they fought a lot. I don't know if they thought they must conquer the enemy and that it's their brother. It was tiresome. And yes, sometimes I really thought to have a job is easier. I could just chuck them in a place and they can sort them out. And I don't need to be involved because this is really difficult. And I could concentrate on my job and I could sit behind a desk. And it's not that I'm against anyone that work, really. It's not that. It's just, it looked so wonderful. Every option has tough things. It's just the way it is. But now we have 3 boys, and they are secure, they are solid, they can make own choices, they can take responsibility. And I really feel it is because they grew up secure. I was strict. They told me I'm the strictest mom in the world. But then you hear from other moms the same, so then at least you're 2. But But boundaries make children feel safe. And I always, from the start also, I always thought, why would I want to say no? If I say no because I'm lazy or I'm not in the mood, it's not worthy of saying no. So it must be a good reason to say no. So I was not, it's not that I was, no, you know, don't go anywhere or whatever. No, I think I was reasonable. But at least that learned them to understand boundaries, to understand authority. They are respectful towards authority. I see so often disrespect in society against authority. You didn't learn that God has placed authority there for us. We need to submit under authority. And God didn't say, He didn't say to the Jews, oh, you don't need to submit to the Romans. No. He said, submit. He's above you. It's not to say that you must be in agreement with ungodly things, but you need to submit to authority. It's just a godly principle. And rebellion is typically one of those things, we'll come there. I'll share now and then I'll skip it when we get there. Is what Satan was kicked out from heaven. Satan was an angel. And he lived very nicely and comfortably, I think, in heaven, because we're all looking forward to heaven as if this is the most awesome place. And I think it is and it will be. That's the promise. But Satan lived there and he thought, man, I'm nearly as good as God. So he was rebellious. His sin was pride and rebellion. And still today, that is the two things on earth that people struggle the most with, is pride and rebellion. And you can see it. A lawless country struggles with pride and rebellion. Where is riots? Where do they burn cars? Where do they have marches or whatever? And they are going, wow. What is in the heart? What is going in the heart? It's rebellion, and pride. Often, so he was kicked out of heaven because of that, and with a third of the angels. We'll get to that just now. Okay. Animal cruelty, that speaks for itself. Interesting that cruelty against people. The first time they made a law of that, that it was illegal to abuse or, I don't know what's another word, a person, it fell under the law of animal cruelty because there was no law for people. It's actually so funny. Okay, and then addictions. Addictions is a replacement of lovelessness and also of not being nurtured, of not being loved. Then we look in another place to feel happy, to feel joyful. It can be anything. It can be alcohol, it can be drugs, but it can also be busyness, to be busy, not to be confronted with reality and who God is. I see all the festivities in the Netherlands. Man, we can party in this country. And everyone is happy on the streets. As long we don't know why we party, but as long as we have alcohol and we have some great songs together and we go together. Man, it was a good evening. It was a good event. So it's also an escapism of false joy, of false happiness. The day afterwards, you're not necessarily happier anymore. You need to go to the next event to feel good and to feel happy. And it's not a contentness, it's a lack of contentness, a lack of joy, a lack of, rooted in God. So you look for it in another place. Okay. You understand brokenness and the broken world and there's many other examples. So what then is God's plan? And long before God planned that Jesus will come to die for our sins, to make a way for us to have a relationship with God and to may go to heaven. So it's just as easy as that. It has been foretold in many prophecies. It happened. Jesus came. In history, you can see there was a man called Jesus, and all the things that happened to him is in history books and not necessarily even in the Bible. People have researched for it, and there's so much evidence of this. You cannot deny that he did exist. But then this verse in Jude, it says, Jude 4, for certain men have crept in stealthily, gaining entrance secretly by a side door. And just one back. Thanks, Ian. I thought of a picture of a doorway and light coming through, because Jesus came to bring the light symbolically. But Jesus said, I am the doorway. You only get to the Father through me. Okay? So, but we are so clever, and we have so many good thoughts, and we have a sound mind according to ourselves, and we can think a little. So we think there's other ways as well. And that's what the scripture is about. There's certain men that have crept in, and this Jude, it's about a letter that was written by Jude. And he said, careful, there's people in your church. It was actually written for a church. Careful, there's people in your church that do as if, but they are not really. They crept in. They didn't want to go by the front door. They went in by the side door. And while we evangelize on a Thursday evening, man, it's a challenge for me. But what I learn there is so much, because I learn how we as Dutch people think. What is dear to our heart? What do we hate? What are we scared of? It's good. It's good to know. It's good to know how people think, because then you can help and guide where there's wrong thinking. But I found that many people think you can skip the prerequisite. If I ask someone on the street, do you think that if there is a heaven that you will go into heaven? Yes, of course I think so. Why? Do you know the prerequisite? No, I don't know. So? On what grounds will you be entering heaven? Oh, no, I think I've got a good chance and I'll be there. You see, they want to come in by a side door, their own thinking. No? It doesn't work like that. What you sow, you will reap. Your choice will have a result. When Jesus comes back, even other beliefs say that Jesus will come back. There will be an end time. Your time is over to have a choice. You have to choose before. And God will not force you. God doesn't force anyone. There's also people who say, well, if I don't make a choice, at least I keep all the choices open. At least if there is a God, he cannot tell me, yeah, but I chose against him. Yeah, well, the default setting is, if you didn't choose, you chose against. It's scary, and I'm straight, sorry if I'm too straight today. Please duck dive if it's too bad. But there it is, if you make no choice, you made a choice to not choose Jesus. So what you sow not making a choice. Okay, so that's also not a safe option. Often we think, oh, we're not such a bad person. And I think it also has to do with the yin-yang. We think, okay, two positives, one negative. Perhaps I'm still in the positive. I think it's like we do exams. If we have enough yeses, then we will pass. It's not like that. It's not about what you do. It's about what you choose. Did you choose Jesus as the doorway? Did you go in the front, in the door? Then Jesus does everything for us. He forgives us our sins. We repent of our sins, but he forgives it. We cannot by our own trying be ever good enough to enter into heaven. We just need Jesus. And I know I speak to believers. It's perhaps just a confirmation, or when you have a discussion with someone, that you can share. And then it says in Jude, verse 1, Jude is one book. We're going to go quickly through the book. So after the service, you can say, I've read one book in the Bible, the whole book. it's today, quickly, quickly. We're going to go quickly. I'm not so slow as now. And then Jude said, yeah, but remember, their doom was predicted long ago. It's for ages it stood in the Bible. Since the beginning of the earth, this was said over and over again. Ungodly persons who pervert the grace, the spiritual blessing and favor of God, into lawlessness and wantonness and immorality, and disown and deny our soul, Master and Lord Jesus Christ. They miss it. But he says, this is not new news. It's old news. You ought to know. He actually writes this letter to this congregation and say, I wanted to uplift you, but actually I see there's some people that creep in by other doors. And I just want to say to you, remember, if you don't come in by the front door, you don't come in. You will not get in. And you ought to know this. So the rest of the thing is a little about that. Remember this, remember that. So for most of you, it will be just a confirmation. And perhaps for some, it's new. But I quickly want to say here that in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 to 5, it says that the weapons of our warfare are not physical. They are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Why I say this is in the previous verse, we said it's the spiritual blessing and favor of God. There is a spiritual blessing that's upon those who choose Jesus. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's awesome how God works in our lives. Yes, you have to sell your house when God says so. But there is blessings with it. And I've seen it over and over in my life. When I ask God, I don't know. Then he will guide me and then it will be blessed. So there's a spiritual blessing. We know that there's a spiritual world. There's a spiritual blessing. And it's beautiful. And I think it's that spiritual blessing that comes in when you choose Jesus, that you know and you grow in that you know you're a daughter or a son of God. You're rooted. You know that you're saved. Yes, you miss it a lot. Yes, we as Christians mess up. We take wrong choices. But you know nothing, and that's what we're saying also, nothing will take us away from the love of God. Nothing. He will keep you. Yes, you need to repent again. But he will not keep it against you if you repent it. And Jesus came to lift that. So it's not a yin-yang. We did a course on evangelism under Muslim people with the thought of the immigrants that's coming and how do you speak to them. And what I've learned is that they believe if they do one good thing, then God will come and do 90 other good things for them. So they will, if they do one step to the right direction, God will do the other 99 steps. It's a good version of yin yang. If you do good, we must get the nonsense out of us and just focus on God and do the good things. We must not carry on in that. Okay, let's go move on quickly. Verse 5 is beautiful. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. I said that we have inputs from three places, God, the enemy, and ourselves. We need to scan it. We need to check out our emotions. We need to check out why do we think so. Why do we think yes, green and not blue? What motivates us? What lies to the core of that? And it's really important. And the rest of Jude that we're going to read is also about choose, make decisions. And he gives us tips of what is not good. The next picture is of an apple. I don't know if anyone wants to eat one of them. Once I heard, you know what is worse than an apple with a worm? Is a half worm in the apple. Because you swallowed the other half. You swallowed the other half already. Okay, so now all of you are awake. What God showed me is a round object, and there's a small crack on the side, and I only could find this picture. And on the outside it looks good. You look worthy, you look awesome, you look whole, you look beautiful. No one on the outside can say there's a small little worm inside. And he's laying eggs and it's growing and growing. And the other apple is actually representing more rottenness. But on the outside, you're still looking cool and you're still looking great. And you're still, but on the inside, you know. If you're really, truly honest with yourself, you know, I'm a little rotten. I'm a little rotten inside. So we must get out the worms. But healing also happens like that. When you started to be healed, when you start to be whole again, it starts from the inside. From the outside, you don't see so much. It's only later on, when you're really rooted and grounded in God, that people will see. What is it? Oh, okay. Then it shuts down. Sorry. Okay. Let's go quickly. Our printer prints double, so then I can't see ready. 5. Now I want to remind you, and it's just this also, I just want to remind you, though you were fully informed once and for all that through the Lord at one time delivered a people out of the land of Egypt, he subsequently destroyed those of them who did not believe and rely on him. He's just talking about history in the Bible, that Jesus, the people of Jesus, the Israelites came out of Egypt, they went to the desert, and those who didn't believe, yeah, that's why they had to carry on 40 years in the desert, so that those who didn't really believe, they made a golden calf. When God actually gave the law to Moses on the mountain, they celebrated with a golden calf, a nice idol. It's, even Utrecht have a golden calf. But they sing around this thingy and adore it, and because of that they had to go 40 years in the desert. And then those who did that died in the desert. Then he says, okay, I'll remind you also of the angels who did not keep care for or guard or hold to their own first place of power, but abandoned their proper dwelling place. These he has reserved in custody in eternal chains. He says, you all need to know, you all remember this, this is part of history, that the angels that was out of, that was kicked out of heaven because they followed Satan. Okay, you remember where they are? They're still there, waiting for judgment. Okay, then he says, all right, remember, the wicked are sentenced to suffer just as Sodom and Gomorrah. That was two cities. They were very immoral and they had homosexual practices and so on. Often it's about sex. In the Bible, there is sex outside marriage, sex when you're married and you have sex outside that marriage, sex before marriage. There's lots of things that God says, beware, 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 don't go there. This will, what you sow, you will reap. It's not cool, you're not your engine. Your body is not made for this. Your brain cannot, it will have an effect on you. And we know soul ties bound you. Soul ties happen when you have sex with someone. And it can have a effect on you for lifetime. So you need to be delivered of it because, it's just a tip of God. Put in diesel, not petrol. Okay. So what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? It was brimstone and fire. Those two towns were demolished totally. Then he says in verse 9, okay, but remember this. But even the archangel Michael, contending with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, he dared not to bring abusive condemnation. What I want to say here is I think we must remember we cannot curse the devil. We can also not curse God. That is blasphemy. It is terrible. But even the archangel, who had a very high position and still has in the rankings in heaven, he didn't curse the devil. Nah? He just says, the Lord rebukes you. So often the ways we speak, I hear sometimes people say, they call God to foredoom them, to, what is that in English? To damn them? Yeah. Why on earth would you call God to do that to you? But it's a saying, but you actually speak that into the reality, into the realm. So we must just check out how you talk. And then the next one, verse 10. But these men scoff and sneer at anything they do not happen to be acquainted with and do not understand. And whatever they do or understand physically, like the instinct, I want to highlight the instinct here. They just carry on with instinct. And often it's a lack of knowledge. Often no one told them the truth. Often no one said, is it the TV that's going off? Often, you were not informed. So, and then, as I said, I went with my, according to me, my sound mind. It was actually my instinct. I think, no, we need to do this, we need to do that. Okay, while you're struggling, just listen, it's not difficult. You see, I was yesterday at a party. I was, a party, a fascia. It was to celebrate someone who was 25 years married. It was nice, but there was also people of her work there. And I could just see the difference of people who were in her small group and the people of the work who are not Christians. There's just not a knowing and a respect towards God and who He is and what He makes us and a contentness in ourselves. You can see it physically, the way they act, the way they joke, what they joke. There's even a lack of respect to one another. The way they treat their own bodies. And I think, do you have to do that now? It doesn't look so cool. But yeah, it is. It's a lack of knowledge and it's not knowing. And then you just go by instinct. Well, this is a party. This must be nice. This must be fun. So this we do. Check it out. Check out what you're doing. Many years God warned us against just these instinctive things that we do and how we treat our bodies. Yolandi said that about our bodies, that our meat boxes get overheated. We are so warm and so sweaty, and I think everyone is complaining of a little heat today. How do you treat your body? How do you treat your meat box? God made him. He chose how you will look like. I always wanted to be smaller and taller, but you know, God chose me the size according to him. Treat your meat box well. Your spirit and your soul lives in your meat box. Take care of it. It's something that God calls in the Bible a temple. It's his temple. It's his place where he resides in you. Take good care of it. Look after it. It's really loveless if you struggle to take care of your body. Okay. Verse 11, he says, be careful. Woe to them. Be careful to these people. They are like Cain and Balaam and Korah. Cain murdered his brother. Balaam was a prophet for God. But he wanted to get the gain of the king. And the king said, okay, you must curse Israel because they're getting too strong and they're going to attack us. And then God said, you dare not curse Israel. So he couldn't. The words that came out of his mouth, he couldn't curse them. But then he went the other way around and he said to the king, but I know a way how you can get to these Israelites. You just seduce them with sex and immorality and make them honor your idols. And at the end, Israel was taken over because of that. So he was not an honest prophet. And then Korah argued with Moses in the desert and said, yeah, but you took a woman out of the local tribes. It's not the Israelite. And who do you think you are? Because we can also prophesy. I think it was them saying we can also prophesy and God can also speak through us. God hated that. So he was so cross with them that Korah with his family, the earth opened and they fell in it and the earth closed. It was like an earthquake. We don't do that. We don't talk down on those who God has chosen to lead. pray for them. Pray that they guide us the right direction. And like for me and Derkjan, pray for us that we will hear God's voice, that we can lead in the right way. Okay, a few pictures is coming up. He says, check out these things that I've told you now about, but you know it for many years already. These things are hidden reefs. It's elements of danger. In your love feasts, where they boldly feast without scruples providing for themselves. So he says, check out your feasts, these love feasts that you have, that you enjoy so much. Check it out. What are you doing actually there? It's like a hidden reef. And if you see the picture of the hidden reef, it's the ship that is wrecked. On the horizon, you don't see anything wrong. Oh, we just party. We just do these nice things. We drink a lot and we are happy and we enjoy. And then I think of the festivity that we had in Utrecht about the, what do you call those people? I think it's homosexuals and lesbians and all of those together. And they had this thingy on the canal. It was not beautiful to see. It was actually, they didn't like their own bodies. The way that they treat themselves, the way that they drank, the way that they display themselves. And I think you have no honor in yourself. You struggle to be rooted and content with who you are, who God made you. You struggle, and I feel sorry. But this is what this writer says, careful, on the surface, it looks all cool, but check out what's going on. Okay, so he warns us. And then he says, they are like clouds without water, swept along by the winds. The next picture is a cloud, and it says even without water. And it's just, he makes some examples in the nature. These people are like this. They can't even bring rain. They are just where the wind ever blows them. And you see, people change their minds because their minds are not rooted on the Bible, on who God is. So how must you make decisions? Well, every wind that comes past that can convince you, you choose that. That's why law is changing. In the Netherlands, before, the law was on, it was godly. It was rooted in the Bible. Now we left the Bible. So now we can make law without the Bible, but what is your moral? Yeah, where do you start from? It was easy when you had the Bible. You say, okay, this is not biblical. God says, okay, careful, don't do this. Okay, check this out. No, don't go there. Yes, this is cool. But now we threw that away, so now it's about what side does the wind blow? Oh, it's an eastern wind. All right, let's go. Let's choose abortions. Let's do that. Oh, okay. Let's say all immigrants is welcome. Everyone can just flood your country, give your country away to everyone. I don't say that. And I don't say there's a long thing about immigrants, so, and especially illegal immigrants. But the Bible is very clear about that. If you want to research a little about sojourners in your country and illegal sojourners in your country, there's a difference. Of people who came in legally, but are from a different country, and those who came in illegally, they were treated differently. I challenge you, go there. But you cannot make your moral standards or your choices on a thing like a cloud. That's whatever it goes, now the wind blows, it will have not good fruits. Okay, so he says that, and then he says the rest one. The other one is, trees without fruit at the late autumn gathering time, twice they are double dead. I looked for a tree without fruit that is sick. That's supposed to be the picture. Look at people's fruit. If you do not know, is this okay or it's not okay, look at the fruit. Yeah? The fruit is what is happening after the choice. What is... if a person preaches something and you wonder, is this right? Check out the fruit. Check out what's going on there. Not everyone preaches the right thing. We need to preach what's in the Word. Even churches misses it. And there is no church that is perfect. And luckily, it's not the church that brings us in heaven. It's your relationship with God that brings you in heaven. And you must go to the church where you are discipled, where you are guided, no? Or where you can be a disciple. Okay, so check out the fruit. Another picture. They are like waves of the sea, flinging up the foam of their own shame and disgrace. It's so sad. And then I thought, you know the picture of the sea, the next one. Yeah. It's the foam. Is it consistency? It's just puff. It's just puff. There's nothing. It looks big and it looks impressive, but it's wind. It's just nothing. Okay? So he says, this is how these people are. And wandering stars, whom the gloom of eternal darkness has been reserved forever. This is a super strong accusation to wandering stars. What this means is often you will see people, they will lead whole groups of people to say, yeah, but Jesus says this and you must do this and whatever, but they don't preach the whole truth. So everyone follows this new prophet, and as long as he can prophesy over me and he prophesies good things, then we follow him and we go to his events, and then suddenly his light goes down and he's nowhere. It's like a shooting star. That's why I say check out the fruit. Check out the fruit. If there's charismatic churches that preaches only the good, you know, that's not the whole Bible. That's not the whole truth. There's lots of good. There's lots of beauty. I cannot live without God. The way he protects me, the way he loves me, the way he guides me, the way his wisdom, he imparts it into me. It's just, Ahmed, I don't trust any one of you as much as I trust God. But there are people that just tell the half of the story because the church need to make money. They don't want to lose congregation members because then the offering is too small. And I don't say everyone. I just say make sure when you go to events that this person is really preaching the truth. Okay? And then it says in verse 15, God will come. Enoch prophesied. Enoch is in the Old Testament. It's plenty of years back. Prophesied that Jesus will come back again and to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the unholy ones and what we've done. And so judgment day will come. If you believe in God or not, it will come. It's like gravity. If you believe in it or not, it's there. So, but this letter is, you remember? It was foretold, Jesus will come again, this will happen. Okay, and then we're going to skip 16. He says in verse 17, remember, beloved, the predictions were made by the apostles. So that's now the apostles already said that in the days before Jesus comes back, all these things will happen. So it's not a new thing. It's really very old. There were always people that struggled. There's always people who don't choose Jesus. They struggle. You can see it in their lives. So he says, just remember this will. Verse 18 as well, verse 19, people who cause division. I had the sermon on the goats and the sheep. Goats cause division. Careful. In politics, you often can see, do they take God seriously or not? They can cause division. You have strong leaders that can cause division. Careful. It's what's going to happen. It will be with us. Then, slide 23. but you beloved. How will we behave now? This is all this. Remember this, remember this, remember this. Oh, and this has been said and this has been done. Okay, now, build yourself up. Your beloved, build yourself up and in utmost holy faith. Rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. This is so beautiful to me that at Encounter 1, our first series, we ask God for those who want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and they receive their tongue to speak in tongues. This is what it says. You're praying in the Holy Spirit. It's a tongue that you get. You do not understand the words, but you pray in the Spirit. And then it says, yeah, hey, look out. Build yourself up with godly things and pray in the Holy Spirit. To pray in the Holy Spirit is actually to enlarge your spiritual muscles. It's beautiful. And it's a spiritual thing. You don't have control in that sense. You don't have control what you say. You have control of when you say, when you speak. But it's beautiful to see when you receive it and you know what it does. Then it says in verse 21, guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will bring you into life eternal. So be patient, guard yourself, keep yourself away from the ungodly things, focus on the godly things. There was lots of tips on ungodly things, so just avoid those. And refute, verse 22, and refute as to convict some who dispute with you, and some have mercy, whoever in doubt. Have mercy for people who sometimes struggle to believe. We all go through that. Have mercy with one another. Pray for one another. Be there for one another. Like Esther shared, she went through a difficult time. Let's pray for one another. Let's be there for one another. No? Speak with people. Help them to understand and to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. Strive to save others, snatching them out of the fire. On others take pity, but fear, loathing even the garment spotted by the flesh and pollution by their sensuality. So what it actually says is really pray for those who struggle. Pray for those who haven't been, who couldn't choose yet or didn't want to choose yet for Jesus. Help those who walk the way, disciple one another, and but don't have anything to do with the wrong things. God loves every person. Every person. If you've chosen him or not, he loves you. He doesn't necessarily like what you're doing. Okay? So that's the difference. And because when we choose Jesus, we love everyone. We are not necessarily in agreement with all your choices, but we love everyone. Okay, no one of us is without sin. We all struggle. Okay. This is the last slide. Well done, you're still awake. Here it comes, the good news. God's promise. It is beautiful. It is the verse in the Bible. When I realized what it says, I got such a kick out of this. It was awesome. Now to him, it's God or Jesus who is able to keep you without stumbling, or it's Jesus without stumbling or slipping or falling, and to present you unblemished, blameless, and faultless before the presence of his glory in a triumphant joy and exaltation. What it says here, if you go to the next slide. God once showed me this courtroom. And this is now Judgment Day, when Jesus comes back. I was standing in the, I was the angeklagte, the accused. And behind me were many people, like in this gallery, we all were full of rotten sin. And then the devil, in a nice black coat, he looked a little like Batman. I don't know why. He stood on the one side, and he accused me of so many things. God the Father was the judge. We will be judged by God the Father. God the Father was the judge. Jesus just stood there. And Satan had this big book, man, and he went page by page by page by page, and I realized everything he said is the truth. And I just knew, I'm not going to make it on my own. I will not make it. I cannot. No one can. It's terrible, and everything is the truth. And I was actually ashamed that God had to hear this, and Jesus. But you know, in any case, he knows. They all know. They know everything. So actually, it was not news for them. But it was terrible to stand there with the others. And then he was finished with his big book and said, this is it. And God looked at Jesus, and Jesus stood up, and he said, she's one of us. And God said, he took the hammer and he said, it is done. And Satan was really not happy. He took his coat and he made a wing like this and he walked outside. And this is how it is. Jesus comes with a triumphant joy and he presents us before the Father and he says, we've done it. We've made it. Yes, she is. Not by our own doing, of course, but because she chose me. And it was so beautiful to see how Jesus celebrates that we made it with him. We did it. And that it's with triumphant joy and exultation. And then because of that, we honor God, the last verse, to the one and only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the glory, the majesty, the might, the dominion, the power, the authority before all time, in the past, now, in the present, and forever. And you cannot say these words to any person. It's just God that can receive this. It's just God that is worthy of this. No other God. No other God has done what our God has done. To send Jesus to die for us. All the other gods, you must do offerings and you must do a lot of stuff to get their favor. This is our God. I want you to stand. If you can put the last slide on. You've seen the picture. Brokenness to wholeness is through the one door, not through a side door. It's the only door. It's Jesus. It's not a difficult choice. The enemy wants to keep you away. It's a wonderful choice, and yeah. So I'm going to pray. If you all close your eyes, Father God, our wonderful, awesome God, that we can say to you, Lord, be glory, majesty, might, dominion, power, authority, from ever to now to the total future, forever. Father, thank you. Thank you that you're a good Father. Thank you that you're a good God. Thank you that we can believe in you, Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.